Hello there. Welcome to a new episode of the Product Powerhouse podcast. Today, I am chatting with a new online friend, Brenda Cadman. Brenda is absolutely incredible. She participated as a speaker in the Product Powerhouse Summit that took place in the spring of 2023, just earlier this year. And I got so much feedback from the participants saying that they loved her session. And I knew I had to have her come on the podcast because she was so phenomenal. Brenda is a Canva verified expert from Prince Edward Island in Canada. After spending more than two decades supporting businesses with their website development needs, she now focuses on teaching entrepreneurs how to use Canva more effectively and efficiently. Brenda has taught thousands of small business owners through her courses, and in particular, she loves to help business owners tame their hot mess Canva accounts by creating an organizational system that ensures they can spend less time in Canva and more time doing what they love. I mean, doesn't that just sound incredible? I don't know about you, but my Canva account is a disaster. Like, full disaster. I couldn't find anything in there if I tried. When you listen to this episode, you'll hear Brenda talking about people who have used Canva so long that we didn't have folders at the beginning. I am one of those users. I did not have folders. I have never once organized my uploads folder. And Brenda's session in the summit and through this conversation has inspired me to finally take control of my Canva account, get some systems in place so that my team and I can work more efficiently and effectively, which are like two of my favorite words, inside of Canva, because we are using it every single day for marketing and for client projects. So there's a lot happening inside that Canva account. It needs to be organized. I think you're going to love this conversation. I can't wait for you to get to know Brenda better. So let's go ahead and dive in.
You're listening to Product Powerhouse, a podcast to inspire and empower you while you build a powerful product-based business that fuels your passion and feeds your family. I'm your host, Erin Alexander. I run an e-commerce web design agency that helps shop owners build, grow, and scale. This podcast is all about actionable strategies specifically for your product-based business. So friend, grab an iced coffee and let's chat, because DIYing your business doesn't mean you have to do it alone.
Hi, Brenda. Thank you so much for being here on the Product Powerhouse podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. It's actually a lot cooler here and it's been really rainy lately, which normally I would complain about. But given everything that's happening wildfire wise in Canada right now, I'm very grateful for the rain. So,
oh, yeah, okay. We have hit those like high 90 degree days already. And it's so crazy because it was like super rainy and cold and then phew, hot super fast. The weather this year has been crazy.
Yeah, I think most people would agree with
you. Yeah. Why don't we start by telling everyone listening who you are and what you do?
So my name is Brenda Cadman. I am a Canva verified expert. I hesitate to say how many of us are in the world right now because they change that number every period, every little while. There's a few new folks that are getting added, but currently it's under 50 of us worldwide, which is something I'm pretty proud of. We are, as a verified expert, we were chosen by Canva's community managers, usually based on the kind of content that we're putting out, the kind of education that we're putting out there to help other folks learn how to use Canva more, whether it's more efficiently or more effectively or how to do cool things in it. Everybody has their own area of expertise. My particular area of expertise is very much how to get organized in Canva. I do a lot of teaching about how to utilize those beautiful folders that you have in Canva and how to conquer your Canva clutter and clean it all up. So that's where my area of specialty is. But I also do a lot of teaching for business owners in general about just using the platform, getting started, and how to not get sucked down that Canva rabbit hole.
Yeah, it's a deep Canva rabbit hole.
It can be. You can spend hours down there. And for some folks, they enjoy doing that. And for others, it's the last thing they want to be doing. And they just want to find faster ways to create the content they need to market their business and then get in, get out, and get back to the stuff that they actually love to do.
Yes, that's true. I guess I probably get sucked in because of my design background. So it can be really fun, but it can also be very overwhelming. How did you first learn about Canva? Like, how did you get started in this?
I honestly don't remember where I heard about it for the first time. And some people have a really definitive moment of when somebody shared it with them or they stumbled across it. I just have this vague recollection of it suddenly entering my life. I know it would have been, I think, early 2014. But I don't remember beyond that. It's hard for me to remember a time before Canva was in my life, which I think a lot of people probably feel that way. But it was 2014, so I wasn't the first on the platform, but it was the early days of it. And I basically was forced into using it because the graphic designer that I had been on my team and was creating everything, she ended up having to leave and go. She went to take another job. And suddenly, while I was trying to find a new graphic designer, I was in a position of having to create content on the fly, which I'd never had to do before. And I didn't want to, I'll be honest, I was cheap. I didn't want to have to buy Photoshop again. I had it once upon a time and I let it lapse and get outdated. And I did not want to have to buy new software. And this free graphic design tool came across my plate. There wasn't even a paid version of Canva at that time. It was just the free version. And it did what I needed it to do. Now, it was a very different version, a very different beast than what we know now. It had nowhere near the level of functionality and features and capabilities and the kind of the quality of what you can create in there now. There was none of that back then, but you could create some very simple social media graphics, and that's all I needed at the time. Started using it, and it just became one of those tools that was, like a lot of people find, it becomes something you're in every single day. And I think I just was spending so much time using it to create every little piece of material, marketing material that I needed in my business, that I didn't realize that I was so much further along in that learning curve than a lot of other business owners are when they go to use Canva. Fast forward 5 years, 2019, I was in a program to create a course for something completely different. And everybody was asking these questions about how to use Canva, and I was answering all the questions. So they started asking if that's what my course was going to be about. And in that moment, yes. It was now what the course was going to be about. And I shelved the other idea and then just started leaning into something that everybody was asking for, as opposed to something that I thought people should learn. And I think that's probably been the defining difference between my lack of success selling courses and things like that in the past versus what I have now, is I actually listened to what people wanted to learn. And you know, that it's funny how that makes a difference. People don't want to buy a course about something they don't want to learn about. Funny how that works. But yeah, it's been, I guess, 4 years now of teaching, four and a half years of teaching it. And I haven't lost the zest for it.
That is so cool. I'm like thinking back into 2014, what was I designing? Because I was working in design and I used PicMonkey. I haven't looked at PicMonkey in so long, but I do remember people talking about PicMonkey and Canva. And I had already learned PicMonkey because I had Photoshop at work, right? But I didn't have it at home. And I was like, I'm not going to pay for something and I get it at work.
It was not cheap.
No, it wasn't. But I do love like the evolution and how you listen to what people need. And that is a really important business lesson. I think I learned that lesson too. Before I became a Shopify expert, I was a Squarespace expert. And I felt like one of millions. And then people were asking me, specifically e-commerce people were asking me about branding questions. And it was like, yeah, but it depends on what you can do in your Shopify store. Can you even do that? And so it was like, if I'm going to help these product-based businesses, I better learn Shopify.
Yep. 100%. And becoming known for something particular is always going to help you to stand out. And I know that's a fear that a lot of people have in the early years of their business, is not wanting to turn away any potential clients. But if you say you can help them with branding and design and graphic design for any business, regardless of who they are, you fade into the background. Whereas if you're known for something really particular, the next time somebody says, do you know somebody who can help me with Shopify? You are right at the forefront of their mind. And I found that really specializing in Canva, I get referred quite easily because I'm not out there. I'm not positioning myself as a graphic designer. I'm not a graphic designer. I'm going to teach you specifically how to use this one tool. And then I will do the work to make sure I know all the ins and outs of as much of the program as I can. They're constantly iterating new features and updating things. And it is hard to stay on top of every single aspect of it because it's a monster of a program. But I do have a level of expertise that I think most people are not going to have.
Absolutely. It's really cool how you've gotten here and how you've continued to build in it. Canva is like seriously one of those softwares that is always evolving and changing.
As the person who has to update the lessons in my courses every time they make a significant change, yes, they are. I love it on one hand, and on the other hand, oh no, now I have to go change all of that if I want to keep the content fresh and up to date and reliable. I'm very glad that they do keep introducing new features and trying to refine and polish the existing features and making it a really robust tool that can accomplish the online design and marketing goals that most small business owners are going to have. But it's a little frustrating when you just put out a lesson on something and now it's completely changed how to do it.
I have Shopify tutorials and I'm like, this is still accurate information. It just looks different.
Yeah.
But some of them, it's not the same and I need to redo them so bad. I totally get it. Let's talk about Canva organization. You were part of my summit this spring, the Product Powerhouse Summit, which was fantastic. And everyone loved your session. Like in the feedback forms, everyone was like, I didn't know I needed Canva organization. And I am one of those people. Wait, no, I do know I need it, but I just ignore it.
Yeah.
I'm a chronic searcher. I will search for anything. So let's talk about Canva organization. Like, what do you see? Most people aren't using it at all.
It's a real mix. There's everybody from those who didn't even know they could create custom folders to those who have been using the projects area and creating folders for some time, but they've created a system that just isn't the right one for them. So there's so much friction in terms of figuring out how to stay on top of it that they just don't. And then it just devolves into a great, great big hot mess again. And then everything in between. I think a lot of people have tried. They've created a handful of folders. And then for whatever reason, either it is the wrong set of folders or they just don't have the bandwidth to tackle it that a lot, particularly for those people who are really power users and have used it for a long time. They have a lot of content in there, a lot of designs, a lot of images. And folders is not something that was available from the very beginning. So once it was introduced and folks wanted to get organized, at this point, a lot of them had such a backlog of content that the idea of trying to tackle the organization, it was just overwhelming and they don't have the energy to do it. So it's also not seen as something that's urgent. It's seen as one of those things that's important, but they'll get to it someday. And there's always something more pressing that needs to be taken care of. So it just keeps getting pushed off and people become incredible searchers. And there's nothing wrong with using the search functionality. It's there for a reason. But then if you're going to do that, you do need to make sure that you are naming things really effectively. And otherwise, you're still going to be spending a lot of time, if you're not scrolling looking for something, you're going to be spending a lot of time searching and trying to remember the keywords that you used in that design title. Everybody's a little different in terms of how they retrieve information. And I think the key to a really successful organization system in Canva is just leaning into what works for you intuitively to retrieve information and then create a folder system that's going to support that.
That's a really good point. It's creating a folder system that's going to work for you. I like the way you said it, intuitively, because it's really difficult for me to implement like other people's like template systems or filing systems because it's so granular and I don't think very granular. And so it works really well for me to have groups of things, right? Mm-hmm. I like to have all of the same size of something in one document or things like that. But that part about making it work for you, that's the whole thing that's going to make organizing basically anything possible.
Yeah. And you don't have to have the system perfect from the outset. You might think you have exactly how you want to break it down, and then you feel a lot of friction when you're actually using it. Listen to your instincts. If you are not able to stay on top of filing things away, or you are struggling to find where you foldered something, if you're digging into a folder and drilling down and it's not there and you thought it was going to be there and now you have to back out and you're like, oh, what did I name it? I'm going to search on it and find it that way. And then you find it in a completely different folder that's buried down really deeply in something else. And now it makes sense of why it was there. You don't have the right system. Just get something set up that feels like a good fit and then modify it, tweak it, refine it as you go until it feels easy to find what you're looking for and there isn't that struggle. If you have that friction, you have the wrong system. It doesn't mean give up on folders. It means let's reassess this and see what might be a better system. If you have somebody else on your team that might be able to help you work through that process and talk that out and figure out what that system looks like, great. You can hire people like me to help you do that as well. But I do really encourage people to not write off creating an organizational system because it feels a little bit labor intensive at first or difficult. You can chip away at it over time, or you can offload that to somebody else, whether it's somebody on your team or somebody else who you bring in to help you. And it's going to save you a ton of time in the future. I think sometimes people just don't see a tangible cost to disorganization, but I guarantee you are spending so much more time trying to create stuff in Canva that there's this lost cost, this lost opportunity cost in terms of other work that you could be doing that could be making you money. It's also just frustrating as hell to not be able to find what you're looking for and feeling like you have to recreate something that you know you created 3 months ago because you can't find it. And then that's another couple of hours gone that you could have been doing something that was more important in your business or something that you just actually like to do.
Yes, absolutely. I know for me, not in Canva, but when my OBM came in, she asked me about Google folder organization. And I'm like, I just search for things. I have mm-hmm. some folders, but I don't always put everything in there. And then she helped me set up a system to work for me. And we did rename things. And it took a little bit of a learning. But now it's, I know where it is. And things are called the same thing. And that it is about the time that you lose trying to find whatever the thing is or getting frustrated because you can't find it or you don't know what you called it. That part of things is so frustrating. And you could be doing things that you like.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also, I think that if you can easily find what you're looking for, there's just a clarity of focus. If you're going into Canva to create some sort of whatever the design is, let's say it's a social media graphic. If you are looking for a particular template that you know you've used in the past and you want to start there and you can't find it and you're trying to find the assets, if you have all this clutter around you, it's not only going to take longer to create what you want to create, it is also going to probably result in a poorer quality product because you're frazzled looking for everything. Whereas if you have an easy system, if you have a clear mind, you have focus, you're going to be able to get it done faster as opposed to going in kind of this muddled state because you can't find it. So it's not just a matter of saving time. You're going to save the frustration. You're going to save a lot of this just bad design as well, I think, because you're able to find what you need. And I don't think any of us creates good quality content or designs when we're feeling frustrated and frazzled.
I agree. Yeah. That's actually why I have taken a podcast break for the month of part of May and part of June. I was feeling so stressed out making the episodes and editing them that I just wasn't creating good content. And so it was like, I would rather not put out an episode than put out one that I poorly made. And if that means my listeners drop for a few weeks, that's going to be okay because quality is more important.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I love the concept behind organizing my Canva. Like I told you, I am one that is just, don't even look. This is something you help people with. You go into people's accounts and you clean them up, right? You help them create a system.
Yep, I have done quite a few of them now. There's a process to figure out how they're using Canva, what sort of content they're creating, what sort of content they've created in the past, what am I going to find in there? And then it's largely just me behind the scenes for a day. Sometimes they need to hire me for a couple of days and I'm in there and it's totally cleaned up by the time they get in there. There's folders for everything. Their uploads folder is completely empty because all of those images are now sorted into an image filing system in custom folders. They don't have half a dozen copies of the same images uploaded over and over because they couldn't find any of them the half dozen times they had already uploaded it. And it's just, it gives them a nice clean surface to work with, but also some best practices and some recommendations on how to move forward to keep it organized, not just for them, but most importantly, the majority of people I work with, they have a team who is trying to go in and find content so they can create the content they need to create to fulfill their job responsibilities. And the folks I'm working with don't want to be the bottleneck, and they know that they're not going to be able to go in and do this. So I go in and do it for them. But I think it's important that you don't, if you're not in a position to be able to hire somebody to do it, you just need a bit of a game plan. I have free resources. I have low cost resources. I want to meet people where they're at in terms of their ability to get organized, the affordability of getting organized, and just know that it's not something you have to do in one fell swoop. You can tackle it in bits and pieces and learn to create a process that works for you. So you start by just going in and creating a couple of folders. Start moving a little bit in here and there, and gradually you start to get into a rhythm, and it starts feeling good moving that stuff off of that main projects folder area and moving it into the folders, and you start getting some of this clean space back. And I personally find it addictive. I know not everybody agrees with that, but it does feel good to be able to go in there and it's clean and it's pretty, and it's just so much easier to get things done.
Yeah, I can absolutely relate. I was feeling overwhelmed by the clutter in the house. It's easy to hide digital clutter. You just close it, right? You don't have to open the folder. In the house, there's stuff everywhere, and it was just driving me crazy. And I didn't have a lot of time to clean up. And so then I just put things. I grabbed three baskets, one for me, which was the biggest, let's be real, the fullest. Mm-hmm. One for my daughter, one for my son. My husband, I just threw his stuff on his chair. But I put everyone's stuff in the baskets, and then I could put the baskets in their rooms and just get it out of my face. Yes, I still have to go through the basket, my basket. The kids took care of theirs. But it was just like I could have a little bit of space because I couldn't see the clutter anymore. It's not a perfect system, but it was a start.
It's progress. It's progress. Yeah. You feel like you're taking another step towards getting it to where you want it to be. And it doesn't happen overnight. But and you're right, there is a difference. The physical clutter, at least, because of there's a capacity limitation that you reach far sooner than with digital clutter, because you can keep shoving things into a folder and it can build up, and it's not going to hit a natural storage maximum the same way that a closet is going to. Eventually, you can't close the door, so you have to do something about it. So it's easy to put this off over and over, but I think the feeling is the same, that if you can take some sort of progress to clean it up, it does feel very good for you mentally.
Yeah, I agree. And as you said, like getting started, you have a bunch of resources. I just wanted to point out, I'm on your website. You have the roadmap. So if you go to brendacadman.com/roadmap, Brenda has a Canva organization roadmap. And literally she says, is your Canva a hot mess? So yes. If you are feeling like, oh gosh, my Canva is a hot mess, I can't look at it, this roadmap sounds like it's for you.
Yep. It's just going to break down. It's going to give you a system to follow. It's going to give you some key steps, a process to go through. And then if you find that you need slightly more help, there's additional resources to help you do that. If you want videos to actually walk you through the process and some best practices in terms of getting this done, there's like a little mini course that'll help you do that. But for a lot of people, that roadmap, just knowing, okay, first I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, that is all they need to get off on the right foot. And for many people, that's all they need.
It sounds awesome. I'm going to download that myself. You also were telling me about your Canva support hub, which I think sounds incredible, because a lot of people are using Canva for their business and they just have questions. They don't understand all of it. So do you want to tell us about the Canva support hub?
So you and I were also talking about the fact that memberships are hard to do sometimes, and feeding that content beast can be very time consuming. It can be exhausting. And what I realized, I had one of those. I had a Canva membership in the past where it was new trainings each month and downloads and things like that. And it just was not lighting me up. It wasn't really what people were looking for. And I realized people don't need another training. They don't need another masterclass. They don't need another YouTube video. They just want somebody who is an expert in the thing they want to learn about to be able to go to and ask a question when they have a question. So this is a membership that's specifically around doing that. It's just about getting, if you have a Canva question, to have a place, specific place to go to get that answered by somebody who not only has the expertise in Canva, but also understands how to use it as a business owner. Because I think what happens is if you go to Canva's support desk, you know, if you are having glitches, if you are having billing inquiries, they're the place to go to. But a lot of the time, if you're trying to figure out the best way to accomplish something using Canva to create something specific for your business, they're not in a position to be able to give you the information that you're looking for. And because we talked about earlier how fast Canva changes things, by the time a lot of these videos go on YouTube, they're like outdated the next week, unfortunately. So it's really frustrating. So I just thought people just want a place to go to ask a question that isn't a free Facebook group overwhelmed by a ton of other people trying to promote their own stuff. And that's what it's going to be. It's just $7 a month. And it's a place to, there's live Q&As and there's a private community to ask your questions in, just so you can get the answer, get the thing done, and move on to the next thing that you need to do in your business.
Yeah, I think that sounds absolutely incredible. I know there are people who need that. I use Canva every day and still I see hacks or tricks. And I'm like, I didn't know you could do that. And which you learn those by watching other people do it or other people having their questions answered. So it is a very valuable membership. I was also thinking, as you talked about, like how hard it is to create that content. As a member, it's hard to consume all that content. There are some people who I want to be in their memberships. I want to be in their community, but I almost feel guilty that I'm not watching all the things and doing all the lessons, because it's like I have all these resources and I'm paying for them every month and I feel like I'm wasting it. So there's some freedom and not having to do anything.
And that's been a bit of a kind of a real jump I've needed to make mentally, because there's still this sense of if you're charging for something, more is better, and that you have to give more stuff. And people, they don't have tons of time. If they had free time, they don't want to spend it watching a 30-minute video on how to create a new piece of marketing content in Canva. That content is out there and it's great content. It's just not my specialty. Mine is, I'm going to give you quick wins. If you want to know how to do one specific thing, if you want to know how to fix one specific problem, if you are running into an issue and you're like, why is this happening? Or is there a better way to do this? I just want to give you a 2 to 3 minute video that's going to show you exactly how to fix that one thing. And that has been really well received. So there's been that mental hurdle that I've needed to get over of, no, I don't have to create huge pieces of training content every week for people. Just being available a couple of times a month and then really answering their questions and making sure that during the week they are getting all of their questions answered, that's enough. And that's all people need to feel value. It's not an expensive membership either. But beyond price tag aside, I think we all as consumers want to just feel like we're getting value for our money. And value does not necessarily mean more stuff.
Yeah. I think that's a really important tie-in for everyone listening, because they are product-based business owners. And a lot of them are struggling with pricing and they feel like, if I'm going to change my prices, I need to change something about my business. And that is not true. Like, you don't have to improve your product or do anything different to charge more. You can charge more for the same product. It's all about perceived value and, you know, the people who want and need what you have.
And the experience. If anything, just make sure it's a really smooth, enjoyable experience. There's lots of products that I purchase. They are not the cheapest on the market, but they do what I need them to do. And I love the company and how I feel dealing with the company. And I will sing their praises. Totally random sort of product, but the deodorant that I use, it is not the cheapest deodorant, but damn, does it work. And I will share that deodorant everywhere. And I pay to have it shipped to me. And yes, it's more expensive. And I won't consider using anything else. But they also, the customer service has been stellar. And they're lovely to deal with. And it's simple. It's not fancy, but it works. And I am not going to go anywhere else because of that.
Agreed. Okay, I want to know what deodorant is, because I have a similar deodorant situation.
It's No Pong. It's called No Pong. And it comes in a little, just a little tin, and it's like a cream-based one. It's a thick cream. Some people have to get over the fact that there's no applicator stick. But boy, it's the only stuff I've used that works like that. And it's, I've used it for years and I won't use anything else. I'm an absolute convert for them.
I love that. We're on this topic. We're going there. And I've talked about this brand before on the podcast. I use the Pit Pourri brand. So the brand Pourri that has Poo-Pourri and all these things, right? So they have Pourri one.
Yeah.
Even they had it in like a paper tube for like eco-friendly. And I loved that. But it was so hard to get out that I was applying it with a plastic spoon. And I was willing to apply it with a plastic spoon because it was the only one that worked for like the stink. And it's like a natural deodorant. And I'm like, now they've got a new package, like a normal deodorant package. Love it. They raised the price like $2, I think. I don't care. I still want the deodorant.
You're not going anywhere else.
And I have to order a few at a time. I order four at a time so I can get free shipping. And I am not using anything else.
No, I'm on a subscription. I'm like, I don't even want to have to remember to order it. Just send that sucker to me. Yeah, no. It goes to show when you find a product you really love, you're going to stick with it. Why would you? I'm not going to try to save a few dollars and then risk getting something that just I don't like as much or doesn't make me feel as good. So you're right. It is not just you don't necessarily have to change something. If you want to change anything, just make people feel good when they purchase your product.
In both of our examples, like it's not even maybe the most convenient or the cheapest, but it is the one that we love. And so that is the thing. It's about products that people love, that they feel good about. They like whenever I wear earrings that I got from one of my listeners or someone in my community, I love it. I think about them. It just brings me so much joy to have purchased something they made. So I have, and plus I have like their artwork on my desk. And it's just so special.
Yep.
That special thing is the stuff you can charge for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyways, okay. This has been so awesome. I'm really excited about the Canva Support Hub and your roadmap. I'm going to put links to both of those in the show notes and the blog post. So they'll be really easy to find. And I do have one question for you. I always ask everyone who's on the show, what's something you're currently learning in your own business, just to show people it doesn't matter what kind of business you run, how long you've been doing this. We're always learning and evolving as humans and business owners. So do you mind sharing with us something you're currently learning?
I am doomed, I think, to forever struggle with delegating. I must do it all myself because I'm the only one who can do it as well as the way I want it done. And that's just it's a load of crap. That's not true. I've had an assistant for years and I just have not maximized her availability and her skill set and her competence. And it's something I'm really committed to doing now over the past couple of, not even the past couple of months, the past couple of weeks in particular, I've just made a real shift of, okay, I got to get out of my own inbox. I have to not be spending all my time doing these research projects. I need to go where I can't be replaced. I'm the only one that's going to be able to do the guest trainings. I'm the only one that's going to be able to be on the podcasts. I'm the only one that's going to be able to do the Q&A, get on the videos and answer the questions for my audience. That's where my time needs to be spent, not crafting emails to send out for these various projects that we're working on. So delegation, I think the sooner you learn that, it doesn't mean that you have to hire a bunch of people. I have no interest in building a big team again. I had the downtown office space. I had the full-time staff. I have done that. I do not intend to do it again. But I think it's important to understand you cannot do all of it. And you don't have to fill every moment with something else. If you finish early for the day, great. You don't have to shove more tasks into the day because you feel like you're not being productive enough. So really maximizing the experience of others and delegating and focusing your time on the things that you truly, either it truly needs your expertise or that you truly love to do. And then find ways to get rid of the other stuff because it'll burn you out. And I have been a business owner for 23 years. And I can't believe I am still trying to learn this lesson.
I can completely relate. I don't necessarily think I can do it better. I know that that other people can do what I do probably better than me, but I struggle with feeling like it's too hard or too inconvenient to ask someone else to do it.
Right. Because that it would take longer to show them how to do it than just do it yourself. And that may be true the first couple of times, but if it's something that needs to be done over and over, you just need to, what I find works is the next time I have to do it, just turn Loom on and record the process. It doesn't need to be well thought out. I just verbal diarrhea my way through the process that I'm doing so they understand, they can see and hear what my thought process is. And then I hand that off to Joelle and I just say, if you have questions, and you probably will, let me know and we'll tackle the questions. But here's where we start.
Yep, that's what I had to do too, because I know that it's not going to be easy to teach everything. So now I just turn it on while I'm doing things and I just talk to my assistant like she's sitting right next to me. Oh, yeah, I do this. I don't really have a reason for it. That's just how I prefer it. I just ramble and it gets so helpful. And then the next time she doesn't have to ask me those questions. And yeah, I just don't. I've just always struggled with not wanting to be inconvenient for people. But it's a good lesson to learn as a business owner.
And they want to help. That's why they're there.
They want to. She's like, I would love to make more money.
Exactly.
If you send me stuff, then I'll get paid more. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a difficult switch to make. And I think it goes to show that there are things you never, even doing it for 2 decades, you're never going to get the system process. You're always learning. You are always learning. And there are some lessons that are harder to learn than others.
Yeah. Absolutely. Brenda, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, sharing your Canva knowledge with us. This has been so fun. I definitely need to tackle my Canva. I'm actually excited to do it. I've gotten into organization just everywhere a lot more in the last few years. I will say a lot of that has to do with that show that came on Netflix, like The Edit or
The Home Edit.
Yeah. Although I don't like those people. Sorry. They're fine. I don't enjoy that kind of. I did learn something from it. And also learning yourself. I don't know. It's something that happens in your 30s. Like you learn more about yourself and how your brain works. And that has helped me a lot. But it's really nice to see it show up in my business and all of these things. Anyway.
And I think there's something to be said for when you feel like there's a lot in your life that you can't control. If you can control your space, you can control the contents in it and how you can put order to that when you can't put order to anything else. There's a real sense of satisfaction in that.
Yeah. And I think we didn't even touch on the fact that your background was in organization, right? Before you did physical organization for people. So this is something that's just like really rooted in you and your values.
It used to do it for actual physical filing cabinets and paper. And now it's just the digital equivalent of that. So the Canva plus the organization really is a marriage of my two areas of expertise and probably why I'm happiest when somebody just lets me into their account and I can tackle their uploads folder. So if you are tackling your Canva account, you, Aaron, and anybody else, start with that uploads folder. Like, create some custom folders for your images and then start unloading things out of that uploads folder, because when you hit inbox zero on that, ooh, does that feel good?
That's awesome. Before we jump off, let's tell everyone, where's the best place to hang out with you online?
You mentioned my website earlier, brendacadman.com. You'll find all my resources and things there. And then I also do have a free Facebook community that you can join called How to Use Canva. And the easiest way to find that is just to go to howtouscanva.com and it will redirect you to the Facebook group.
We will have that in the show notes also. Thank you so much for being here today, Brenda. It was lovely to chat with you and I just enjoyed this so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. I had no idea we were going to talk about both Canva and deodorant.
People are probably surprised about the number of times we talk about deodorant on the Product Powerhouse podcast. Thank you for listening to the Product Powerhouse podcast. It means so much to me that you take the time out of your day to listen to this podcast. It's my favorite thing to create, and I am so grateful that you've taken the time to listen.
If you enjoyed this podcast or you have listened to other episodes and enjoyed those, it would mean the world to me if you could take a minute out of your day to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. This helps me get the show out to more people just like you who are out there trying to grow their own product-based business.